Hi there. Welcome to the Hustle Tales podcast. My name is Biagaba Roland and I'm the founder of Mwado, which is an African social network that wants to get content creators paid fairly for their stories. I am also your host. In this podcast, we talk to entrepreneurs who will be sharing with us their business stories with an emphasis on the hard times, how they pulled through, and lessons they learned along the way. Let's jump straight in. Right, welcome to another episode, the very first episode. There's been no previous episode, so this is the very first episode of Hustle Tales, where we kind of get to explore innovation and entrepreneurship in Africa, and you know what it's all about. So I'm your host, Roland Biagaba, and today with me I have Pius. Pius Enyoaru. Pius has been I've known Pius for a couple of years now. And most recently, congratulations, you won. Do the whole introduction thing leading up to you winning things, important things.
I've won things. I've even forgotten some. I think I even won some that I don't even know that I won. But my name is Pius Enyoaru. I am, like you said, a hustler big time. I do very many things. I put my hands here and there to try and make ends meet. So I hustle mainly online. So I'm a digital hustler.
Okay.
My hustle spans from being able to harness the potential of the internet. Mm-hmm. You know, back in the day, we used to be the kids that just wasted time on the internet, wasted time on social media, got into trouble.
When you say back in the day, how far back in the day is this?
Like about 5 years ago. Okay. Yeah, back in the days. Millennials, that's not far. So, yeah, we used to be the people that they used to call us the people that wasted time online, you know, making noise, while always on our phones, locked up in our bedrooms, doing, like, to the people that saw us, just thought we were wasting time. But then, suddenly we realized that there was potential.
So you actually were wasting time. You didn't know there was all this potential.
You know, as a kid, they're doing something, but you don't know what they're doing. But for them, they have that intrigue that there might be something good
in this.
So were those people. We kept on going, kept on exploring the internet, you know, the excitement of social media. But all of a sudden realized there could be something good from the internet, from social media specifically.
Okay.
Yeah. Luckily for me, I found like-minded people that also shared the dream I had to be able to earn from online. You know, just the thought of you waking up in the morning and pulling your laptop to just to do your work and that's it. You know, by just a click of a button. You don't have to commute. You don't have to the same old. So, and also the idea of wanting to break the tradition of, okay, for everyone to be working, for people to say you're working, you need to go to an office. Mm. So those are some of the things we wanted to break. So along the way, we started a company.
Okay.
Just as a startup said, let's start something. But we really didn't have any expertise. We didn't have any experience in
what
running.
What was the company?
Right. I'm coming.
Okay.
In running the company. Mm. So we're like, okay, we like digital. We think we know digital. But we really don't know digital. But anyway, that won't stop us from diving in. So me and my friends started this digital marketing company to be able to get to clients. We had ideas, but we just didn't know that there had to be procedures for you to be able to be in a business and operate it fully. So we set out, we got into the deep end, started up this company with just a social media page, Facebook page and a Twitter page, and said, this is our company.
You're really killing me with FOMO. When are you dropping the name of this company? Proceed.
So we set out and said, this is our company. Armed with only a Facebook page and a Twitter page, we set out to very many clients to convince them that these are the services we offer. Look, we are a team of 5 people. If you give us your Twitter accounts, your Facebook accounts, we can run them for you, attract some customers and put you online. Basically, make as much noise out there. Some came through, some didn't. Some came through, some never paid. But as time went on, we realized that we needed to go in a formal way. for us to be able to get big business or to get any business or to be taken seriously, we needed to have things like a company profile, we needed to have documents, we needed to have, we needed to be incorporated as a company in the laws of Uganda. We needed to have premises, because we couldn't just keep telling people, let's meet here. You know, people are not taking us seriously. So as time went on, we realized everything that we really needed to. So when you got some little money from the constant hustles we did, those are from the social media influencing gigs, from the constant hustle we did. We about a few years ago, like two years ago, we incorporated the company that is now known as Fastlane Holdings. Fastlane Holdings Limited Uganda.
Why that, Fastlane?
So why Fastlane? We felt like when me and my friend that Lobster is called Joseph, when we saw the idea of how we are living life on the internet, and we're like, everything is fast and it's happening fast. We need to give, like, for everything that we did, there had to be a fast aspect.
Yeah.
So we really didn't run away from the fact that, okay, we're living life on the fast lane. We just randomly spoke about it and like, hey, we're living life on the fast lane. So let's give it a shot. I'm like, hey, Fastlane Media. I'm like, oh, okay, these guys are fast. They do things fast. You know, we'd even get some small clients and they would say, can you do for me this one? It is instant. I don't have enough time to plan for it. And we're there. We'd execute it so fast.
You do the thing.
So that is where Fastlane Media comes up to be. It was just a birth of an idea from friends that literally saw an opportunity online that very many people kept on sharing. We dived in. It has been good so far.
2 years now.
2 years now.
How many years were you unofficial?
Unofficial were about 3 years. Unofficial. No, so two and a half years unofficial. Then the other half was to now reawaken. We got the reawakening call. And look, guys, we just can't keep being Juakali. We can't keep being under the bed sheets. We need to step up.
So you're kind of about to make the 5 year benchmark.
Yeah, sure.
Where most of the startups go to die.
Yeah. But we have seen birthdays. We've seen at least our second birthday.
Yeah.
And we're still going hard. I think for the motivation that keeps on growing is every time the team is dying out of motivation, we win something. You know.
Okay. Let's just talk about the winning now.
The winning, the winning comes from
how many? Okay, just build up to the most recent one. How many other things have you won? The ones that you can remember, because you said there's some you don't even recall.
I don't even recall. So for
must
us,
be nice, man.
Our winning was that people started to realize what we could do, and the winning comes from the big clients we started getting, because our idea was, look, we can't compete with these big digital marketing platforms, but what we can do is that let's work with the small ones, amplify the small ones, so that when they get to a bigger platform, they say these young kids are the ones that brought them up. So that was our strategy. So before we knew it we had big companies entrust us. We had government organizations entrust us with their digital campaigns.
If I'm getting you right, winning in this case is you just, you know, celebrating every milestone.
Every small win. And this is just like a drop in the ocean for our wins. The other wins of us being given accolades, those ones are more like public stunts and PR stunts for us to give us more mileage. Those are like, that's for us, that's PR.
Also validation.
And also validation, yeah.
People believe in what you do.
People believe in what you do. The respect increases. And so, yeah, over time, we've grown our clientele. Mm. And we have dwelled so much on being authentic and original, but at not a price that will chase you away.
Are you still the original five?
Yeah, we're still the original five. We've added some people. For us, where we are the original five is that we work with very many people, but on a contractual basis. Mm. It could be a gig that is just a few weeks and that's it, but we keep on working with the same old people. We try and source out new people, but it is just us, the original five.
So those are the, you guys are the permanent, everyday guys.
We're the permanent everyday guys.
Everyone else is depending.
If one is not there, this one is making the decisions. And as a team, everyone has something they bring to the table.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then, first lane, this is your main hustle.
So as an individual, I have other hustles.
Okay.
Because for me to be able to harness the potential of digital and what it could offer, I used to be a journalist. I used to be a practicing journalist. I had a long trek. I did work for Vision Group at some point. I worked the New Vision, Urban TV, and then before that, I did contribute a lot when I was still at campus. I contributed a lot at Campus B. The biggest portal for campuses.
I kind of thought you had a stake in that one as well.
No, so for that I was always passionate about it, and when I executed my work, it some people actually thought it was mine.
Yeah.
But it was just purely the dedication and the passion, because for me to go into the whole journalism aspect was passion. It was passion driven. So everything I did with passion, knowing that it could. And it's for the passion that I had at Campus B. It's when a Vision Group noticed me and called me.
So they got you.
Yeah, so they got me. So when I was at Vision Group, of course I was in a very challenging environment, and I learned things that I didn't know I would learn. I thought it would be smooth. So it's from there that I was like, okay, if I try out this digital marketing thing, because these people see that I am good at social media, so that is where the idea builds. And I have because of writing, because I've been able to write, I've been able to produce amazing content. So I have gigs where people are telling me to ghostwrite, you know, company officials that can't really pull off work. They just tell me, you know what, this is instant, please write for me these articles. I have contributed towards very many publications, but even with my name not being there,
different names.
Of course, I just hand in content. If I've been paid my money, I really don't care. So I ghostwrite a lot. I create content for different Facebook and different social media pages.
This is now not necessarily within.
Yeah, this is not necessarily Fastlane. This is me as an individual.
Okay.
Because if someone comes to me, I love to deal with them as a company. But if they say, look, your red card is high, but I really, really, really want this to work out. So can I work with you as an individual and not the company?
Do you feel any conflict with that?
No, I don't feel any conflict, because at the end of the day, my money has to be part of the company money. So I have to always give back to the company. I have to make sure that we keep on injecting in a lot of money, and we need alternative sources where we should get this money from. So some of the side gigs I do, I make sure that if I get enough money, I'm able to fund some company projects that when we're short of money, because running a startup that is entirely based on money, because if a client delays to pay, stuff has to move on. You have bills to pay. So there's always that conflict, but it is really, really negligible.
Okay. So I will just say the thing, because you have refused to announce it, but you won the Airtel. what was the name of the competition?
Airtel My Hustle.
My Hustle.
Yes. Yeah. So Airtel rolled out a campaign last year where they were celebrating hustlers with their smartphone 4G campaign. So they reached out to us very many, over 30, actually 29. They reached out to 29 hustlers. They did videos of them in different categories. But the whole idea.
All of the hustlers were headhunted, or some people applied?
So, some applied. Some applied to Airtel. Some were headhunted.
You were headhunted?
Fastlane Media was headhunted. Mm-hmm. So when they came to us, we gladly did the video, because we know how powerful their platform can be. And so last year, they rolled out the videos. And for me, I was only looking at, they're going to give us as much mileage as we could never have gotten. So when we got the mileage, the videos rolled, the applause came in, you know, we're really on top. We got some really amazing clients from that.
Even before you had been declared?
Yes, even before, just after the video had come out
from
Airtel, and they boosted it and they shared it, we got as many clients. So we thought the dust had settled. Early this year, then Airtel announces that, look guys, the 29 people that we profiled are going to go into a competition where three people are going to win 5 million each. in about three categories. The categories were most innovative hustle, most internet driven, and most impactful. So, but a few weeks ago, they rolled out the campaign early April. So the campaign was to like get people rally to vote different hustles in the different three categories. The first few days were really strong because we're leading as Fastlane, but then for some reason we really don't know what happened. Either we got so busy and we just woke up one morning and
was it one of those things where you have to mobilize
have to mobilize votes online for people to vote for you, but it got so overwhelming and we had to one look for votes and also do our work. So at the end of the day, at some point we gave up completely. But the online votes took 40% and the judges were taking 60%.
Okay.
Yeah. Luckily for us, the judges realized that, this is the best side is one of the best side of the three is Fastlane Media. And the category we're given, the category one is the one that best suited us, the most internet driven hustle, because everything we do is online. I'm really privileged and glad to be a winner.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you, man.
As rep, it's your name there, as like, you know this guy.
Yeah,
it's good to be associated by osmosis and be like, maybe some of it will rub off on me. and from the way you've described your journey, it just sounds, it kind of flew. It began as fun and games, you know, just fooling around on the internet, and then, you know, boom. Next thing you know, boom, you're making money out of this thing. But I'm curious what you studied and if it's related at all to what you're doing. What did you
So I am a product of I did business administration at MOBS. I didn't complete my course.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm a dropout.
You are one of those guys.
I'm one of those guys.
Do you have a garage by any chance?
No,
dropping out.
I had a phone. I had a phone with some internet.
You should call your phone the garage.
Yeah, the garage, definitely. But I'm a product of MOBS. But like I said, my passion was in journalism, in being able to inform.
So I want to know this the process leading up to you saying, you know what, school has been, it's been real. But I think I've focused on what I want to do. The discussion with your parents, with I don't know, whoever was supporting your education.
Of course it wasn't well with my dad and my mom. My dad, being the sole breadwinner and the one paying fees, wasn't happy about my decision. But it spans from the fact that when I went to do business administration, I didn't like it. When I was applying for my courses at campus, I applied for journalism. But
that's what you wanted first.
That's what I wanted so bad. I wanted it so bad that I applied three times. You know, when you're applying for university, you have five options. So I gave in three options for journalism at Makere, and business administration was literally the last option I gave. Was like, I'm out of ideas. Let me give business administration.
But you guy, how do you, at what point? Because this sounds, you sounded very focused on this journalism thing.
Yeah.
When did you decide this was it for you? Because obviously it's before even
it's before university. It spans from my A level, actually O level, when we'd write articles and send them to the New Vision. You know, the thing that gave us pride was seeing a byline
In
the papers, and then also we'd started up a publication at school where we'd write news and, you know, give people updates and stuff. So then it kept on building. They'd be like, hey, that guy is always informative. He's always informing. He knows things. I always wanted to
drink. Do you drink and know things?
Next time. So I always wanted to be informative. I always wanted to be at the forefront of knowing news and stuff. So that the journalism thing grew in me.
Okay.
So when I set out for campus, I was hurt when I was given business. I could do business, but my heart was never there. And then it got worse when I started getting these opportunities in journalism, being able to write, seeing my name out there, people giving me respect, Urban TV calling me, New Vision calling me. And it kept on growing, that my love for the course I was doing kept on dying, because I knew even if I was done with it, I was not going to really do anything with it. It got so intense. So long story short, I didn't really finish, but I kept on pursuing the love for journalism I had. So I was like, I'm going to focus on more on writing, more on reporting. Journalism became a little bit tough. That is when the idea of digital marketing came in. Okay. And the potential of, because what really got me frustrating was the newsroom was frustrating. You'd write your stories, they would be turned down. But look, the internet was giving me an opportunity to publish anytime, either way, whether unedited, but I would learn from my mistakes. So I was like, this is an opportunity. No one is going to stop me. Let me put my work out there. If it has issues, I can always come and correct it. So that I grew up with that. And the digital, so the whole business idea gave me was that at some point I learned that business was, I had to do business, even if the passion of digital marketing and journalism was there. There has to be the aspect of business, because if you must earn from your craft,
you have to legitimize,
you have to be smart about it. That is where my passion for this, it was basically passion. And then I got along the way, I had to teach myself as many things, YouTube tutorials, read as many reports. Yeah, so.
Right. Anyway, at least you had the, I know we have that absence of career guidance in I don't know if it's just generally in society.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's nice when you meet someone who has that clarity of vision about what they want to do with their lives. So
I think right now I would definitely go back to school, but more specific to like, okay, I want this.
Well, we're on the topic of going back to school. Now that you're running a business, do you wish you had completed your business administration course? That, you know, do you feel like some of the things you learned there are helping you now?
Yeah, definitely. The things that I learned in the first few years that I was at campus are definitely helping me now. And I get to a point where I wish I had completed. I wish I had.
Would you go and complete, given the chance?
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
I wouldn't, because one.
That boat has sailed.
That boat has sailed, because one, if I really, really, really worked hard and this thing exploded to a point where I wanted it to, and we've attracted all this big money, well, I could hire someone who could do that and run it. I don't really have to flex and go. I would now have to go focus on things that can grow the company more.
Bring in more money.
Because I know where the money is. I don't really have to take corners and long stretches to run to the money.
Like hindered you in any way? Has anyone ever been like, Pius, you didn't complete, man, I can't give you this job?
So funny bit is, for the jobs I used to do were purely on merit. When I was getting hired for many jobs I would do was on merit. But as time went on, it turned out they needed papers.
Uh-huh.
You get?
Yeah.
So but every time we go to that point, I felt like I'd reached the bar, so I was like, there's really nothing I'm doing else. There's nothing more I'm doing here. So I would just, you know.
Oh, at the point when they would require papers.
Yes, at the point where they would say, man, we're updating HR manual. We need updated CVs with academic documents. And I would say, you know what? That's it for me. It's a wrap. So let me use this time to focus more on my hustle.
Did you ever try to make an argument for merit over papers? Like, I've been doing this work.
I have done this for the longest time, because even in our company, we don't ask for people's papers. It's basic. It's purely merit. Like, if you can do this work,
yeah,
and you have you have the dedication to pull it off, for us that is what drives us. If it is that merit bit, of course, for society, I've faced a problem of, you know, you still have to have the paper. Even if the tricky bit is, even if you're literally doing well off than someone who has their papers, they'll still want you to have the paper, and you're like, what's the essence? I mean, for you have the papers, but it's not really going well for you.
True.
Me who doesn't, I've seen a potential somewhere and I'm exploiting it. I want to, yeah. So the paper issue is it really just flashes back a little, but there is always a way around it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now your team of five, I'm figuring all the other guys also have side hustles as well.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you manage to keep this thing running? Do you have a system in place, or it's just,
yeah, you know, what comes? There's a system, and if we all do have hustles, even I do have hustles, but what drives us is that if you're going to do your hustle, there's a priority you have to give this our hustle. You know, if you're going to do
our collective hustle,
you know, if you're going to be busy the entire day, give us 20%. Or if you're free today and you anticipate to be busy, do all the dirty work right now so that when your time of being busy comes, someone can step in. Mm. So there's a lot of support. If someone can't be there to do their work, and someone can always step in. The team is really supportive.
Do you have similar talents, or there's division of labors? This is you.
They're definitely different talents. And for me as a team lead, of course, I try as much to have an idea on everything. Because if the other person who is good at it isn't around, I have to definitely jump in. I don't really have to know everything as fully, but if I have an idea on it, I can always work a way around it. So everyone has their own talent, everyone has their own capabilities that they bring to the table. So it is more like collective work, and we try as much to hit our deadlines and deliver to our clients before they do it, before they come knocking or like, hey, where's my work?
Yeah. And then one of the sad but yet common tales we hear from people who have started up companies and they have partners, and then maybe they have someone who comes in with the money and all that, is hostile takeovers or just conflict that ends up destroying the company because they fail to resolve that conflict. Have you had that before in the past or even currently? And what's your method for resolving conflict? Should it arise? The kind that can tear up the company.
I we have not had the serious conflicts that tear up the company, because we've not had any yet. The minor ones, of course, they listen. If you talk to someone and if you just give them honest advice and tell them, look, it's not going to work for us. It is basically understanding. Mm. It is for us. It is we go to a level of understanding that if someone doesn't like your idea, they should be okay with it. You have to just tell them. You can't go back and forth. You can't pull. You need to respect everyone's idea. Of course, people might not like it. People might like it, but it doesn't mean that you should entirely trash the other. So that's the whole point. Like even if we, like for example, we want money, mm-hmm. and people are saying, okay, I deserve this share. I deserve this share. But we're saying, look, this is not my money. This is our money.
This is company money. And so you guys didn't go and make a train?
Well, we do, but it is not on company money.
It is private.
Yeah, it is our private money, and say, guys, we've won something, but let's come together and celebrate. If someone has anything to like throw in there and have us have a good time, it's okay. If we need to tap on that some of that company money and enjoy some of it, it is well okay as well. We need to reward ourselves for our hustle.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the other thing that I think most people will mention about the entrepreneurship is there's some form of inspiration. They read a book somewhere, they have a mentor. Where do you turn to, seeing as you didn't finish school and maybe you don't have the mainstream work experience to rely on? You have field experience for sure.
Yeah.
But when you're facing these situations where you're like, okay, I'm out of my depth here. This is Mazimo Wangu. Who do you turn to? Do you have certain books that have kind of provided some kind of foundation? Do you have mentors?
Yeah, I do. I do have indirect mentors. That I just won't say that I woke up to this person and they are definitely mentoring me. Without them knowing it, they're mentoring me. I talk to people a lot and I ask them crucial.
Feel free to drop names, by the way, because I may need to look for them also.
No, but I talk to people a lot and they give me that little bit of motivation and inspiration. But to be honest, the one thing that motivates me is to prove, not actually to prove. I don't want to live my life to prove to anyone. But what motivates me is knowing that my hustle won't go to waste. Like I have a saying, you lose some, you win some.
Mm-hmm.
So it drives me to know that, look, if I did hustle back in the day when there was nothing, and now that I'm hustling and there's something, there's definitely going to be more coming. So there's going to be slumps and humps and all that stuff. But what motivates me is, I read a lot. I get inspiration from people. But look, come on, that's their story. I really feel like I need to write my story. I need to live every day as it comes. I need to take steps, bold steps. I need to generally make mistakes and learn from them. I need to admit that, look, this is a mistake I made. I don't want to turn around. I don't want to make the same mistake.
Again.
Of course, the motivation that I also give, the motivation that I give my teammates and the ones when they show me that, look, you've motivated us to do this, I feel the pride and I'm like, okay, I also need to go hard and hard and hard. So my motivation spans from me being able to tell my story as a person. Because even if, as much as I read those very many books, because I read a lot, I'm not going to be like those people. I'm probably going to just draw inspiration from them, and I'm going to be, I have to write my own story at the end of the day.
Okay, but maybe for people out there who are looking for resources that can help them, what are those three books you could say, yeah, this book, this 1, 2, 3 titles, I read these books and I left with quite a bit that has helped me get to the point I am right now.
Yeah. I've read Elon Musk's book.
That's a good book.
It's really good. From I know most people think he's actually American.
All the way from South Africa.
All the way from South Africa.
We claim the guy.
We claim the guy. I've read Sir Alex Ferguson's book of football, where he talks about how he has managed to make a name from footballing art. I've read a couple of blogs here and there. I've always read Biko Zulu's blogs and see how he has mentored people and grow. But most importantly, I have watched very many videos from prominent people. I actually love what Arianna Huffington did of the Huffington Post.
Yes.
Yeah. She's also big time inspiration. If you see her,
she does videos. Does she do videos?
She does videos on Thrive because she has a Thrive ideology. She does that a lot. But look, because I also have
Thrive is the topic of her thing.
Thrive is that.
It's not like a platform.
It's a platform for inspiration and stuff, motivation. Locally, I have.
Locally, who is in your speed dial? Well, things have jammed. I need to consult. Who
I need to consult. I don't consult him, but I just you know talk to him, and we just have a chat, and he tells me, man, there's Philip Kalibwani. I don't know if you know him. Pal Guide. Yeah. I don't really directly consult him, but when we are talking, he drops a piece of advice, and for me, I take it in, like, without even him knowing that he's actually advising me or something like that. Yeah, he does.
He was sneaky like that.
Solomon King, Fundi Bots.
Yeah.
like I said, most of these people in these circles, I directly draw inspiration from them by like asking them, man, I'm in a tight fix, advise me. But when I talk to them, I initiate the talk of like, they throw in their advice. Mm. And for me, it's a takeaway note. They're quite many. My former boss, Nima Aya, policy organization. Yeah. I've learned how to do business because of that lady. She's done business in the most amazing way.
Mm.
And it is something that I've drawn inspiration from. Prudence.
Wait, how long were you at policy?
2 years.
Okay.
I was at policy for 2 years. Prudence, Quetta.
Prudence of Quetta.
Yeah. So those are the two ladies that have helped me grow in the business. Plus also Sheila. Sheila was a former marketing manager of MTN for about 10 years.
Kangwaje.
Yeah. So I've done very many gigs with Sheila, and she's kept on throwing that advice in my face, and I've taken it in with like collective arms. So yeah, there are quite many. I just don't really point out and say that they've directly. Every time I have a problem, I run to them. But every time I'm in their midst, I learn a lot of things.
Okay.
Plus, there are very many people. Plus, for my team as well, the team of, you know, Joseph Lobster, Jude Mugabe, Stone Wandera, Revnik, Maki, Ken. There are very many. So,
okay,
my team itself alone inspires me to
get several sources.
Yeah, exactly.
Then now, we always talk about how, you know, we have made it wherever. We like talking about the nice stuff.
Yeah.
But are there any key moments that where life and the hustle slapped you around and you're like, hey, well, I just retired and get a job?
I get those a lot. Even
the most outstanding ones. There are those, I know I've had my own couple of them where I just saw everything going down, and I'm like, okay, I don't know.
So I'll just take you back. When Fastlane was starting out, we started out with a friend of mine that equally had studied with them. So it was just in our heads of like, hey, let's start Fastlane and stuff. So we had our first client. We start up social media pages. We talk to her. She's like, I need to market my things. So we go and start doing work after a period of close to 3 months. And she boldly tells us, I'm not going to pay for your work. I don't like it. It's okay. You can delete the pages. You can do what you want. I'm not going to pay.
After three months of work.
And I'm like, wow.
Did you have a contract?
No. That is why I'm telling you, it all starts from an amateur level where we don't even know what contracts are. If someone gives us their word, we are easy to trust them. So that was the trail. You know, that was a drill. We didn't want to just be hard on people. We didn't have the right. What if someone asked us for documents we didn't have? You get, what if someone asked us for an LPO or invoice? We didn't know that. We didn't know the things at that point, you know. So the biggest challenge was payments, even up to now.
Payments are still a problem. Do you think this can be solved, the whole payments issue?
It can be solved.
Are you signing contracts now?
Yeah, of course. Right now we're signing contracts. We are talking LPO. We're talking early invoice. We're talking down payments. We're talking agency fees. You know, we're now talking professionally because we know the worth we're going to give you. We know the value of work we're going to be giving you. So now we're talking with more authority right now because we've been in industry, not long, but at least long enough to know that this is what you have. This is our end of the bargain. This is your end of the bargain.
Deliver our side.
Deliver yours.
Pay us.
And we've also known the repercussions. We've known the repercussions of them not delivering. And how do we go about it if they do not pay us? So we know those.
How do you go about it if they don't pay you?
Of course, you have to go to the extreme of, like, you know, sending the police over.
Have you done this?
I've not had clients. So we've gone to that extreme. But
what is the most extreme you've gone to get your payment like?
Threatening to expose people. So the other problem with our company we work with is that the money could be released, but there are people on the inside that are always out there to sabotage. So the big bosses don't know about stuff. All they care about is seeing work done.
And they've released the money.
So it's these underdogs that are at the forefront of, like, wanting to, you know, rip you off. So the extremes we've had to do is threaten the companies to you know, put out a bad image of these companies. And bosses themselves who immediately released money have had to step in. You get, so those are such extremes.
You've never actually had to go all the way.
I've never had to go all the way because I feel why I've never had to go all the way is that if these people do these things, and for some reason they manage to not pay you or something, you just I've told my team to just chill because times are they always come around, and before you do work for them, they need to respect. They need to address the older payment and they didn't pay. So we have been there before. So people that for some reason that people that like did owe you of your money, they come around.
So apart from that payment, because that was now your first big slap in the face,
I got another recent blow of we're a young company and we're doing business for some really reputable organization. Very big. It's an international organization, but it was on a.
Names,
I won't name names because it is still going on, but so we were asked to bid for business. Now we now had to bid. You know, when you have to bid, it's big budgets, big money involved. Earlier on, it was just small money involved, but now they are telling us, look, guys, you have to bid because the company policy for people who are going to give such business, they have to bid.
The procurement procedures.
Look, we didn't know that stuff. We didn't have any idea of what to do. We didn't have documents. They asked for audited documents. Look, we had never even fully had an auditor or accountant come in and audit our books. So I was slapped with a reality that you have to always balance your books. You have to audit your books. You have to just track your books. So
if you want to play in the big leagues.
So and then I had to bid. So when I successfully managed to get all the documents they wanted in a record time, and I went to bid and I went to submit in my bid documents.
You audited, you did
everything in a short period of time, because I had to go up and down, pace around. I had to look for money to pay auditors, to pay accountants. I had to look for documents that we had not yet gotten. You know, all that while you've been comfortable, but then you're slapped with reality and you have no option, because you need the business, you need the big money. So we go out and, you know, finally get all the things. So the big blow that I got is when I got to submit in my documents, what really blew me down was the people I was competing against. You know, I was competing against not even big dogs, I think lions, you get. I was competing against the biggest of dogs in the industry.
In the country, even international?
International.
Yikes.
So,
you
yeah.
The contract?
Still, like I said, still in the process of audit. And they'll, of course, announce who got the business. But for me, that was a blow, big blow of learning that.
But it's a good wake-up call.
It is. It was a good wake-up.
If you want to join the big leagues, at one point, you're just going to have to do the things.
Now, what I'm telling is, no one has ever told me that. There was no catalog to read from. There was no book to read from to know that. So I learned it the hard way. You know, I'm on the verge of losing business, and I'm also on the verge of, you know, but at least at the end of the day, I learned a lesson, a big lesson, but I learned it at the wrong time.
Okay. Then, do you have any other quick lesson you want to throw in there? Or?
Yeah, I have as many lessons, but for me it has always been back and forth. You know, we've been at a high, yeah, and then we've been at a low. You know, when you win prize monies in Uganda, especially in Africa, there are moments where you feel like, okay, this is it, I've arrived. But if you critically look at how the system runs, how the industry is running, how your business is running, you feel like, look, this is nothing. This is nothing. These are baby steps.
If you don't leverage them,
If you don't leverage them, and it just keeps putting you at a point where you need to work extremely hard, because one, you just need to fold your arms and say, I won. It's more like telling you you need to push hard. Because if you can win that, you can win more, you can attract more, you can get. So the lesson I learned is that if you keep being resilient on the work you do, because for me when I started out the online hustle, I told my people, look, it might not make sense right now, but one day, and I feel for everything Fastlane Media, myself, I've been able to accomplish in a short period of time, I feel like there is more. I feel like it is a test for us to be like, okay, if we can achieve this, there is more. And while people around you might say, hey, man, you've made it, you feel like, guys, this is nothing. Because I'm looking at a landscape of where...
What's the future like, actually? Now you're talking about landscapes. What's where do you want to see Fastlane? What big dreams do you want to go continental? Are you dreaming Africa?
I'm first dreaming Uganda for the next couple of years. Dreaming Uganda big.
Same line of business.
Of course, there are other avenues. Uganda as a country has very many opportunities for the company to be able to grow. But if in the next 10 years we're not global.
Yeah.
If the next 10 years we're not global, then I really feel like we're not doing anything we want. I'll have hit rock bottom and say, you know what? This is it. So for now, me, I'm looking at global.
As you grow,
yeah.
I don't know if you're already experiencing this, but another thing that most people who are doing the work this way is the company kind of takes over your life, the hustle, and then just finding time for friends, and you find yourself working through weekends because the clients' demands are there.
Yeah.
Do you have a special way of striking this balance, family, work, and friends, I guess?
Yeah, I do. Any? So I have this policy where if I have to do my work, there has to be a point where I just lay low and not do anything at all. There has to be a point when I have to be off the internet. There has to be a month in every year where I'm
one whole month
when I'm totally off the internet. When now I know the systems are running, now I have.
But how much can you do in a month, really?
How much can you do? But it helps you. You meet friends, you travel, because there's saying, okay, I'm going to travel, but even when you travel, you're doing work.
Yes.
That makes sense. So I have tried to encourage myself and my team that get at least, even if it's 2 weeks, go and do nothing. You know, if you've worked and a good paycheck, go do nothing. Go chill. Go refresh your mind. Go eat your money. You know, go refresh. But why my kind of work is interesting is that we find ourselves at leisure and then at work. Because you might travel with a client. If let's say, I'll mention one of our clients. If let's say Simpos Entertainment is doing my experience or an experience to like Para Safari Lodge, and you have to work and you have to, you know, market the event online.
Yeah.
But then to get the hands-on experience, you also have to be there at the event. You travel as well.
Business and pleasure.
The dream. So yeah, our work is more like a little bit flexible because then you do not have to always, you know, wake up early morning to complain about jam and stuff. If there is that crazy, unless there are meetings and stuff. So that is the flexibility in my work. But the core bit is already encouraging my people to at least take some days off, relax, cool off, read a book, catch a beer at the end of the day, read a book, listen to music, travel. So I always encourage them to do that.
So that's also, you find time somehow.
Yeah, find time.
Do the recharging.
Always recharge yourself, because first, most importantly, it's our health that is going to. It is important that you're in good health when you're doing our kind of work.
Then, I guess this kind of this. Do you do to-do lists? And if you do to-do lists, do you have an app for that, or you old school? And then maybe just as a follow-up, what are your best? Because with all these different hustles running, you have kind of, you know, balance.
Yeah.
Dedicate time to this, dedicate time. What's your best time-saving trick if you have so many things to do and you want to cut?
Mine is going extreme. I go deep into the night and do my work.
Marathons
in the night. If I have deadlines, I do marathons at night. But if I have work that is more like a week to be completed, I wake up to it every morning. I dedicate at least 5 hours.
You are this consistent?
Yeah. 5 hours offline to focus on any work I have.
Are you naturally consistent, or is this something you've had to?
I'm naturally consistent, and it is by default, it's something I've had to adapt to be able to meet my goals and be able to accomplish work. Or,
I wish I knew how to do that. But go on.
So it is something I've had to adopt to and do all the time. I know that I have to be at the fingertips all the time. I have to have a full battery. I could be far from my laptop, but that shouldn't be an excuse. I can just log into my phone and do my work. I've had to be that guy.
Do you have a work playlist that will just get you pumped?
Yeah. Spotify does it for me.
which music is there?
So Spotify creates this really amazing playlist. So they can tell you which mood they could ask you which mood are you in, and boom, there's a playlist for that mood.
They know you like that.
The algorithm knows you like that. That is why it is really, really smart. So I use.
Does it change?
It does. Yeah. You should try it. You should try Spotify.
Do I have to pay?
There's a free version, but you have to go through the back end, the back door, VPN, lie to those people you're in the US.
Yeah, I'll give it a try, but I have Chromac. My list is a bit consistent.
Try Spotify.
I have these endless house music playlists that I just put on and I just zone out. Yeah. All right. As we wrap it up, I don't know. Let's just... what's your superpower, Pius? If you reach heaven's gates and God is like, I gave you talents, tell me, what's this talent of you discovered? What are you better at than maybe other people?
Resilience. And for me, the 4 P's drive me. The 4 P's.
What are the 4 P's?
4 P's that drive me, that have always driven me, are 1, persistence. Mm. 2, patience. 3, passion. And 4, prayer.
Prayer.
Yeah.
This sounds like names some people from a certain tribe would give all their daughters. But it sounds nice.
Yeah, so I think I'm really, really resilient. If I put my mind to something, I don't want to be part of the losing side. I don't want to see it go down when it has my name
on it.
Embedded in it, yeah.
All right. Thanks for dropping by, Pius. And
thanks for having me here.
Good luck with the hustle.
The hustle goes on.
For sure.
Thanks for dropping me here. Thanks for catching up. It was a pleasure.
All right. Thank you for making the time to listen to this episode of the Hustle Tales podcast. And I hope you've carried a valuable lesson from our guest story. Catch you on the next episode. I remain Yagaba Roland, your host.